Research by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services shows that blacks and whites actually use weed at about the same rate, and yet blacks are almost 4 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession. To explain why our prisons are largely black and brown, and if marijuana legalization will help stop the criminalization of people of color, I spoke with Cassandra Frederick. She's a New York State director at the Drug Policy Alliance, a group that's trying to address these disparities through drug policy reform. So let's start a little bit with some context. Did the war on drugs actually lead us, almost inevitably, to mass incarceration in our country?
This conversation is rarely about drugs and most often about the people we don't like and instituting a system to control groups of people. When Richard Nixon declared the war on drugs, he often described it as public enemy number one. But oftentimes what people don't recognize is that addiction was actually going down. People were getting access to treatment, not all groups of people. But the picture that he was painting was definitely part of a crime propaganda that he was trying to push out to, like, increase his support and to ostracize certain groups of people. You have crack taking on this negatively iconic propaganda machine that pushed so many elected officials into a tough on crime, lock them up, throw away the key in the 80s, and then moving on to the 90s. You know, now everyone's talking about the 1994 crime bill, which really continued to put more and more money into the machine that was the drug war. And the conversation was never about how do we get people more help. It's how do we erase these people? How do we erase people that are using drugs?
Mass incarceration drug policies have disproportionately affected communities of color. But can you be very specific, Cassandra, in terms of how mass incarceration has affected Latinos and Latinas?
We have a real data problem. The data associated with Latinos who are incarcerated is woefully underreported. And when people are underreported, you erase the experiences of the devastation that communities have.
Why is it underreported?
It is because of the way that Latinos are classified. So in some places, it's either black or white. There's no data category for Latinos.
Can you give us a sense of, any particularities in terms of the Latino population and mass incarceration?
Even though we don't have all the data categories, we do know that Latinos are disproportionately affected by mass incarceration. Latinos are less likely to receive bail. Mass incarceration is also connected to immigration proceedings.
How will marijuana being legalized change the systemic criminalization of Latinos, African Americans, and other people of color?
We should be using marijuana reform to disrupt institutional and systematic oppression for people of color. A lot of our marijuana reform should not only include making sure that blacks and Latinos have access to entering the legal marijuana market. It also talks about what are the reinvestments that these communities deserve after decades of decimation, especially when we see that the United States is ready to make money off of it and ready to move marijuana out of a criminal system. Because to be very clear, Eric Garner was killed because of his association with selling illegal cigarettes. And cigarettes are legal. It's a regulated market. And there was a gray market created that he allegedly participated in, and it killed him. And so this is something that can easily happen with marijuana if we're not very clear about the ways that we can disrupt the systematic oppression that will only target communities of color based on the history.
You're talking directly about, inequality, race, ethnicity.
Capitalism.
Help us think about what the drug policies in the future then might look like.
There is a lot of work to be done about us respecting the agency of people that choose to use drugs and people who struggle using drugs. And that includes providing more access to treatment, figuring out a different role for police in dealing with people who use drugs and people who sell drugs. There are people that have never spent a night in jail or in prison, but have felt the real expansive effects of the drug war. And that means that we'll have to really talk about the institutions that people deal with every day in, like, social services, in child welfare, in immigration.
It was very big news when these low-level nonviolent drug offenders were granted clemency by President Obama and released from prison. Many of those prisoners, they were just sent straight to immigrant detention centers. Who's actually advocating for them in the whole conversation of the legalization of marijuana?
People don't recognize, especially when it comes to marijuana, it's the number four reason why someone is deported or is deemed inadmissible. The laws associated with immigration are even more strict than the laws that we have in the book that have led to mass incarceration. Anything that has to do with drugs, if you're a non-citizen or even in some cases a legal permanent resident, anything that you do that has to do with drugs and you're involved in the criminal justice system just tanks so many opportunities for you as to providing a legal pathway to citizenship. People don't even recognize that people that are non-citizens or legal permanent residents have an additional identity that is criminalized.
The images of who is now part of the legal weed movement, surprisingly, no people of color. And I'm just thinking back to the images of when marijuana was all about Mexicans and bad Mexicans and Cheech and Chong. And now we're here where it's legal. And it's like Latinos have been scrubbed from the visual face of marijuana.
There are people of color who are in the industry, not a lot, but there are people of color that do own marijuana dispensaries that are part of the advocacy to get marijuana laws reformed. They often don't have the same access to resources to get the same kind of exposure. So I think it's important that while we hold accountable the industry to talk about increasing diversity, that we don't erase the people that are already there right now.
Thank you so much, Cassandra. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.